Parsha begins with Yaakov Avinu preparing to meet his brother Esau. How do we know how long he should stay in Kislev? And the earlier in Parsha told him, we read the way Mishka told Yaakov she should run away and he should stay with her family. Hatshuva pachicha mincho. Shalachti lekachticha nishon. He said she's going to send him a message when the brother when Esav will come down, and then he should come down. So Rashi and Mishri said, recalls that when Yaakov Avinu is on his way back there to Israel, it says that Dvorah Menekesh Rizka died. Some of Dvorah Menekesh Rizka, if you go there, there is Laman Hei Kostik Chet. How does Menekesh Rizka come in? So not known figure over here. So Rashi said, Ma'ilin Dvorah B'Zeit Yaakov Elatri, Sha'omer Rizka, Yaakov Shalachti Lekat, Tichon Yishon. She said she's going to send him a message when it's time to come back, so she sent a message. There had no telephone, there had no telegraph, there had no mail service, so she sent Dvorah her main address, and Dvorah gave Yaakov the message that Esav had come down. But Esav come down, Shuvah Pachicha Minko, means that it's safe to come back. And nonetheless, when he comes back, all of a sudden he's preparing to give Matanah. And he says, Vayir Yaakov Yod Vayekzavoy, Vayakov Kolam Shavito, he's preparing for Nechomah. His mother sent him a message that the coast is clear. So the coast of the name of Rizkarov, the coast was clear from the special sinner that Esav had. He wanted to, he said he's going to kill his brother Yaakov, whatever happened. You can really may have a lovely heart of Yaakov. Some of the questions said, you can really may have a lovely moon. My father gets a heart attack. I'm still going to kill my brother Yaakov. I don't care what happened. He doesn't care if his father dies. Others don't shot. Okay, he's going to wait till after the father dies and then he's going to kill him. That's my accurate. That's a fair shot. This sort of illusion. I don't care if the father dies. You can be an angel of I'm going to kill my brother anyway. So they were afraid for his life. So he ran away. But then the mother sent a message that the coast is clear. So now what? So we're back to the old state. That halacha b'yadua, she'esu saini is yankin. That's an ultimatum. That means all that the Jews live there all the time with Esav. So he was afraid of Esav. The normal b'yur got married by Esav. He was afraid because of the regular pachad that he had. So that pachad can be calmed down by giving, by preparing for Muhammad, giving piyush, by giving chanifa. So that he took care of. If it would have been before the message would have been sent by Dvorah Menekes Rizka, if he wouldn't have yet had the message, he wouldn't have come back even with sending Matanah. And even with all the Hanif, it wouldn't have helped. But that's why he had to wait until that time. We learned from this parsha that the Ramban says how to confront the Yomus Olam. Look, we live in Golus. When we live in Golus, we have to confront the Yomus Olam in this fashion. With Hachnoah, with Piyusim, and with Matonis, and with Sheikhad, and bribery, and negotiations, and Khalifa, and then of course the prepare for Muhammad as a last resort. And the withdrawal from Muhammad didn't take place. He prepared for the Muhammad. You don't start right away with the Muhammad. That's the tradition. And the Ramban quotes the Medrash Rabbah in this part that says when Tanan had to deal with the Umis Olam, with the Roman government, that was in control of Eretz Yisrael during their lifetime, during the period of the Tanaim. So the Medrash Rabbah says that Yiranasi and others used to review this parsha, used to go to the beginning of Vayishlach, describing the confrontation between Yaakov and Esau before they went to negotiate with the Umis Olam, because my dog is in the Rabbah, this is the way we're supposed to negotiate. It's interesting, the pasuk says that he sent all of the different Adorim, Eder Levado. He sent one flock of animals and another group of animals and another group of animals, and it sounds to the Sukkim that he gave instructions to each and every individual. Then it says, So the Pashup Shat in the Pashup sounds like, that's the simple Shat. It sounds as if he didn't gather all of these shluchim together. He didn't gather all the avodim together and say, okay, now get it straight. Give this matana to my brother Esav and make sure that you tell him that we love him and that we listen to him and so on. It's not like he told one group and then he sent them on their way. And after they left, then he told the second group separately. Vaitavit HaRishon, it says, Pasuk Yudchev, then it says, Vaitav Gamet HaSheni, then it says, Gamet HaShlishi, 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 each one he gave me instructions. Why didn't he gather everybody together? He could have saved a lot of time. But the Pesach just says that technically it wasn't feasible to gather them together. But some say that the pshat seems to be that this is really a chiddush Hashem. No, really, the way to deal with the situation should be like the JBL letter. Just start off with mocha. The only thing is that Yaakov had been understood that that's not the proper way to do it. If you can, you should avoid the mocha. Why should you have open walls of confrontation? So first he has the Dora, and then he has the Tfila, and then he has the mocha. First he tries Hanifa. If the Hanifa doesn't work, with all of the Tfila doesn't work, so then you'll have to do mocha. So when you do the Hanifa, really it's chiddush Hashem. So even though when the Jews live in Golis, they have no choice, they have to do this Hanifa, but they shouldn't do it with their heads. You shouldn't have the newspaper, the pictures in the newspaper and on television. You shouldn't do it with such great publicity. When you have to do Hanifa, you should try to do it as much as possible with sinner. To spare the Chil Hashem with their heads. Let it be Chil Hashem with sinner, as opposed to Chil Hashem with their heads. Sometimes you have to act like the JDL, that's an Eretz Yisrael. You have your own independent government, and you have your own government. So then you have to, then don't bow down to the Umar Soilem, then you're supposed to act like an independent country. That's Binyamin. Now the Medrash says that Binyamin was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael, all the others were born in Chutzlor. And when they had the confrontation with Esau, everybody was bowing down to Esau. Yaakov Avinu bowed down to, they all bowed down. And the only one that didn't bow down to Esau was Binyamin. And Rebbe says that because of the split that Binyamin didn't bow down to Esau, that's why the Beis HaMikdash was built the Chelkesh of Binyamin. Bein Steif of Shochim, the Bracha of Yankim, he gave that special Bracha, Bein Steif of Shochim, Abayim Yechalad, without the Chalak Shalom, that was all the Chelkesh of Binyamin. So that's the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Means that there's an independent government and it's also, of course, you have to act like a government, not to be mixed with somebody. The whole time you live in Golos, so when Eretz Yisrael is under the Memshola of Yom HaSoilom, like in the days of the Tanaim, so they had to act in accordance with this Pashto. Rashi has an interesting, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that it says that everybody's bowing down, and it says the 12 children, the 11 children were bowing down. And it doesn't say who was missing. But Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Dina was missing. It doesn't say explicitly all of the names of the children. But Rashi just says from the Medrash that Dina was missing. And why was Dina missing? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that he was hiding Dina from his brother Esau, even though Esau had a little bit been quite a bit tshuva. That was a message that Bora Menekes Rivka had passed on to Yaakov. He had been quite a bit tshuva a little bit. He's no longer gunning out to kill him. And maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea that Esau should marry Dina. She could have had a tremendous hashpoa on him. Mar speaks about the hashpoa that the wife sometimes have on the husband, that the wife can make a relationship to a tzadikom. So Yaakov Avinu didn't let, he didn't want, so this was a punishment to Yaakov. So that's why later on she was attacked by his family. He didn't want to let your daughter marry a nice Jewish boy. Your brother Esau, so now she's going to be attacked by this goy. The holiday is a goy. Esau was also a goy, but he started off as a Jew, but he's a children. So the Mefarshim asked, how did the Medrash know that the missing child, it says 11 children died, but how did they know that the missing child was Dina? Maybe he was one of the other Shvatim. It doesn't really say who is missing. So the Mefarshim say, that I think they quote the name of the Bom Gaon, that the tradition had it, that the reason why Yaakov said that they come English to me and the Mizbech will be built to help the Shom Binyamin is because he's the only one who didn't bow down. The Dina was a girl, so she didn't get any Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Her descendants didn't get a separate Chelik. So you can't ask Kakasha, why wasn't the Beit HaMikdash built? Why wasn't the Mizbech in Chelik HaShel Dina? There is no Chelik HaShel Dina, and they did Chelik HaShel Dina. So why not the Chelik HaShel? If she wasn't the one who didn't bow down, if it was one of the other children, so why was the Mizbech built on the Chelik HaShel Binyamin? He wasn't even born yet. He didn't bow down because he wasn't born yet. So maybe the Mizbech should have been built for Chelik HaShel, whoever was the other child. So that was the tradition that the Chacham had, that it was Dina the one who didn't bow down. And there is no Chelik HaShel Dina. So the Beis Bera, the Beis HaMikdash had to be built for Chelik HaShel Binyamin.
I'm not sure that was just from the fact that
each of
the mothers
came
forward.
Bunim sometimes means children, yes. Bunim sometimes means children. Doesn't really say the same. came to give the matana, they called them the name of Rav Chaim. But when they came to give the matana, so Yankel Avinu gives them instructions. If gosh ta'ita loch yishel talem and limach l'ni ato v'yonos elech v'ni eile l'tanecha, who are you, who do you belong to, where are you going, and who do all the behemoths belong to? So you should say v'yomarta li'ato chal yankel, to enter the first question first, l'ni ato li'ato chal yankel, and v'yonos elech v'ni eile l'tanecha, this is the present they were delivering to Esau. So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim, Tosh Pshatman talks against, I don't see that it poses any problem. Now, the quote in the name of Rav Chaim that Yankel Avinu felt compelled to stress that he's only giving as a matana and a behemoth. He's not giving the avodim also as a matana. He says, otherwise, what does he have to say? He's Gosh Chayitah Rachim. He's going to ask you, Li Ato, who do you belong to? What do you mean, who do you belong to? He's going to ask, who are you? So he's saying, everything is a present for Ato. Why does Yankel have to say, if he asks you, who do you belong to? Li Ato, you should say, belong to me. What is the significance of stressing it belongs to me? The main thing is, the significance is that this is all the presents that's being sent from Yankel to his brother, Esav, because he loves his brother so much. And he's seen it for so many years. So he quotes the Shema Khan that there seems to have been a stress placed on this, that Yankel says, present, to all the presents in the world, but I'm not going to give you as presents to my brother. My brother shouldn't think that I'm giving the payments with the cowboys also. The Avram don't go along as part of the present. He quotes the mother says in Gibson, that if a Jew has a Kanani, he's not permitted to sell him to a Goy. And if he does sell him to a Goy, there's a penalty. He comes to us, I feel out of sort of the dumbbell. He has to buy him back to the Goy, because the Goy won't allow him to be Shem Shabbat, because the Goy won't let him keep kashrus, he won't let him keep yontif and so on. So you're not permitted to give over an Eretz Kanani to a Goy as a matan, or even to sell him to a Goy. So that's why Yankel Avinu tells the Avodim, he tells the cowboys, if my brother will ask you, but the Atoy, in case that issue comes up, who you belong to, then make it clear that you're not part of the present. The present only consists of the behemoth and not the beast. Akav Yankel Avinu say, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Lavan Garti, the word Garti is the same as he used with Taryag, that he kept all the Taryag mitzvahs. That was a physical task force, he keep all the Taryag mitzvahs. It's impossible for any one person to keep Taryag mitzvahs, especially if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Well, the mitzvah is true, it's a mitzvah, and shrink of the yovel. What kind of a shaker is that? The Taryag mitzvah Shemarati. You can't keep all the mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs don't only apply to Kohanim, some mitzvahs don't only apply to Levim, some mitzvahs don't only apply to Israel. Who is this Yankel Avinu? He kept everything. So the Prima Godin writes in his Sefer HaChumash that the only way to how does any of us keep all of the Tayyemus Takmiyot? So what does everybody always talk about Tayyemus? So it's to the best of our ability. What's the best of our ability? We learn the Dinim. The Gemara says that when you learn the Dinim, it's considered Kiilu Yuma Kaimus. It doesn't mean that if I have a lulav on the table, instead of shaking the lulav in the answer, I learn the Dinim. I learn the Shulchan Aruch will put the lulav in it. So then you're not getting it. Or let's say, I learned the dinim of Karbonis. The Gemara says, when you learn this much, and you just try them, the Pasuk tells us, and the Shalma points our things. So we recite the Sukhya Karbonis. Then we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash. We won't have to bring Karbonis. Of course we'll have to bring the Karbonis. When the Beit HaMikdash will be built, my wife has 9 babies, so she'll have to bring 9 sets of Karbonis. It's a Mishnah in creases like that. So the parish is within the Gemara. Let's say a person with Machal Shabbos to say, because none of this. The Gemara says, in the first parish in Shabbos, they have to write down the Mishnah Berurah book, and La Lacha has to write down on a notebook, places lost in Kosai, that is Mechuyav to bring a carbon chatos. The Gemara's Lashon is chatos shmeina, fat chatos, skinny chatos, whatever, it doesn't matter, fat or skinny, then the heathen is to bring a fat animal for some chatos. Mitzchan is great. But and if the person Machal Shabbos 5 times for Shegi, he's going to have to bring 5 carbonus chatos. You don't say that by having decided Tukim in the Mishnah is about Hakovitz HaKarbonis, the Hebrew Yaitse. That means you're Yaitse to the best of your ability under the circumstances, believe very when there's nothing better that you can do. But if and when a Beit HaMikdash will be built, of course you have to bring all those Karbonis. You have to fulfill the most physical part of life. So that's any mitzvah that is physically impossible to observe, that's what the Mepharshim say, that to the best of one's ability, you do all of the Tariq mitzvahs behind him. You learn all those things. So that's what he's saying here. And Lo Van Garthi, I kept all the Tariq mitzvahs by learning the Dinah. He did to the best of his ability. He learned the Dinah. He was very, very frightened. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he says, why does it say double loss? Same thing. He was afraid he may get killed. He may kill others. He may kill others, what's so bad about that? What is he worried? What is he nervous about? Shema Yargeta. Shema Yargeta. So the standard shot that people usually say is that the Gemara says that in the end of Hariyat, the Gemara tells the story that there were two Tanoim, Rav Meir and Rav Nechanya, who decided to depose Rabbi Gamliel, I think, from his Messias. He was the chief rabbi. So they wanted to show him up that he doesn't know himself. So they're going to ask him, and look at him, they're going to ask him, Shver is Ahmed, no one knows. And then somehow their scheme was revealed to the Nazi, to the Rosh Hashanah. And that night he was brushing up on Uptin, and then when he asked him in public the next day, well, what do you say about this thing? All of a sudden he started to rattle off what the din is. And everybody was looking, what kind of strange question? Why did they ask on Uptin in the middle of nowhere? But then the whole scheme became known, that they tried to be Mavazim, to be Mavazim in public, and then the Gemara says as a punishment for the fact that they tried to be Mavazim, they tried to be Mavazim to show that he doesn't know what the din is. So they are penalized so often. The Mishnayos will say, or the Brisa traditions will say, Acheirim Omrim, and that means Rav Meir Shita. Instead of quoting him by name, you have a lot of Mishnayos. Every other Mishnah, Rav Meir's name appears. But every other Mishnah's name doesn't appear, and it says Acheirim Omrim, so that's him also, but that's nothing. They didn't change any text of the Mishnah that was written already. They can't be Eloh when they were writing Mishnayos and Brisa, and instead of writing Bishmo, so they would penalize him and they would write Acheirim Omrim. And that's a code word. The secret code is that Acheirim means him. And then the Rav Nechemi also, the Gemara says that Rav Nechemi, they punished him, they called him the Yesham, and instead of calling him by his name, they call him Yesham. So some say that the Gemara says in one place that Rav Meir was a descendant of Gerim, a descendant of Gerim from Edom. So that's what Rashi quoting in Medrash. That's what Rashi meant to say, the Yesalo, Shema Yaratu et Acherim, he may kill Rav Meir, who's otherwise known under the alias, he goes under the alias of Acherim. Not that he's worried about killing his brother Esav. Esav is a har rasha, a raidus, that's okay. But Esav is going to be killed, and maybe Acher is going to, maybe Rav Meir is going to be a descendant of Esav from later years, not from the earlier years. It could be that that if he would kill Esav, then Acher is still going to be born. It could be that not. He didn't know, so he was afraid. They quote the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zizkin, a different suggestion over here, that Yaakov had read from his mother, Ben Ruach, Loma Eshkol Shnechem Yoim Echad. When she sent Yaakov Avinu away, so she said, why should I lose both children on the same day? What kind of a funny lesson, why should I lose both children? Esav is going to kill Yaakov. Yaakov is not going to kill Esav. Esav is going to kill Yaakov. So what did she say? Lamash Koshtem and Yemechot. The Rashi and that part, quoted, I'm told, was quoted in the Medrash, that she took up the Ruach HaKodesh, she knew that they're both going to die at the same time. The Kachavra, the Medrash says later that when Yaakov Avinu died in Egypt, and his descendants, his children, brought back to himself the burial of Maris HaMachpelah, so the matter says that there was a fuss at that time, and Esav didn't bless. He said that he has the rights to the kever and the Maris HaMachpelah. And then there was a fight, and at that time, one of the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu chopped off Esav's head, and then before, Yaakov Avinu had died way before, but by the time Yaakov Avinu was buried, Esav had also died. So it was Lama Eshkol Shnechem Yemech Atak, and they were both buried. The head of Esav was buried at the same time as Yaakov. So that's what they quote in the name of Shlomo Zizkin. He was afraid Shema Yaargu et Acherim. What does he care if he kills Esav? So what's the thing? No, if he kills Esav, his mother's statement, he was nervous about it. Maybe his mother knew what she was talking about. And according to the Medrash, she did. Nitzn Sobo Ruach HaKodesh. There was something there. She didn't realize that she was saying something to Nebuah, but part of what she said was also, they didn't both die on the same day. But Esav was killed before Yaakov was buried. So that's what he was afraid of. He was afraid for his own skin. He wasn't afraid of Esav. He said he had a right to kill him. He's a rightist. There's nothing to worry about. When Israeli soldiers have to shoot the Arabs, they shouldn't feel rahmanis. But when you're fighting a war is a war. We'll stay on the war. Love, I don't know. But in war is difficult. Sometimes the Feinstein has a tshuva about all stay on love. There's mikra din, it's mutter, but not. He has a whole tshuva about that. We don't accept that principle, all fair and love. But all fair and war, that's what the war is all about. When you wage a war, the Maharal Mizrach has talked on this week's schedule. He said that, why did they kill out all the people in the city? What's going on? Every single person in the city deserved an einish nisa. That's still a klein. So the Rambam, in his commentary on Chumash books, and the Rambam and the Yad HaZok and the end of the Hilchos Malachim, who discusses this. What kind of mishikas is that? Why they wipe out a whole city? So the Rambam says in the Yad HaZok, really the only ones that deserved an einish nisa were Shechem and Hamor for kidnapping the daughter. The kidnapping Shechem Ben Hamor took Dina. He deserved an einish nisa for attacking the girl. But the Noach is kind nisa for Gezel, even Papas to show food. And that's kind nisa for any other that he does. By us, we have different onshim. We have nisa, malchus, and momen, it's not. All kinds of chorus. We have all kinds of different onshim. But Ben Noach, the Gemara says, oh, they're also doing it. Whenever they violate an other, so the einish is nisa. So the ones that really deserved Yonish Nisa here were Shem and Hamor. Shem attacked her, he raped the girl, and Hamor was covering up for his son. He should have insisted that he should release the girl and let her go home. So he said, so Shem attacked her, and Hamor was kidnapping her. But they deserved Yonish Nisa. The other people, the Rambam says, didn't judge, but they know have one of the Shevimitzins in Dinim. The Dinim requires, the Gemara says, that they should establish both the Dinim, that they should function, that should keep law and order. And they should punish and penalize the people who deserve onus, the people who deserve penalty. And they didn't. They had no court system. They had a court system that let these two guys get away with murder because they were the Nesim over there, Shechem and Hamor. They were the Roshi HaKohol of the Jewish community. So the Rambam says because all of the Bnei here violated the Mitzvah of Dinim, so that's why they deserved the onus of Nisan. The Ramban, of course, disagrees with the Ramban. Close to the whole Ramban, very disagrees and says it doesn't make any sense. The Bnei Noach have mitzvah says and they have mitzvah loy says, like we have Esni loy says. So the Mezra Mahmur, when he did Mara say, I saw some. Do we meet saw some that they deserve an Einish Misa for violating any Aver, that's an Azara. Azara means they did an Aver, but if they fail to fulfill a mitzvah, let's say there's a Machlekes and Rishonim, but the Bnei Noach have a Chayyim Zdokta. It says, he died from Amish and Tavish Banas Beis Allah Huzdar Hashem Shomer Zerachan Lash has Sofa Mishpat by Avram Avinu. So the Ram on Sanhedrin has in the Sugi of Bnei Noach around us in Zayin or so, he quotes two Pshotim on the Gemara where the Bnei Noach are Mokhiv to give Zdokah now. Some Hashem hold that the Mokhiv is Zdokah. The same note, the word Zdokah doesn't mean charity. It rather means when they come from the entire between two parties, they should recommend, the Bezim should recommend Shorah. As opposed to Din. Just like by us, it's a mitzvah to recommend Shorah as opposed to Din. But by Bnei Noach, the last is Tzedakah U'mishpat. Tzedakah U'mishpat means to judge either with Shorah or with Din. Same thing. But other Mishnah don't know that Tzedakah means partial to give charity. The non-Jews are obligated to give charity. So let's say a non-Jew will not give charity, he won't fulfill his mitzvah. That's called Azharah. He's doing his Tzedakah. He hasn't violated an Azharah. The Gemara has a law in Azharah, it says he lost an Azharah. It's only called an Atharatan, Atharat Aloy Tassik. You violated an Aveir. The Gemara doesn't say that statement in the context of an Enoch, Atharat Tassik, Ashma, Atharat. It's another Sukhi, Mur. The beginning of Mur, the Gemara talks about that Nishba, Nishba Meinu Mikal Chaber Deshem is Lokis. The Gemara discusses Nishba, what's the Aveir? So the Gemara says, if it's only an essay, so how can it get Malkus? It must be that there's a Aloy Tassik somewhere. But that's what the Rambam disagrees over here with the Rambam. If you say that Dinim means that the Bnei Noach has the Gemara says it means. The Bnei Noach has the place to establish both the Dinim that should judge, keep law and order by judging all the cases. They're going to say that here they didn't insist on their court system judging Shechem and Hamor. So they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim. So for not fulfilling the mitzvah, the Rambam has the Chayim Nisa. Like Nisan the Hayyomer, he tells me that the one guy needs to having violated a loy tesser, not for failing to fulfill an answer. And the Rambam Alpi Pashtus holds not so. The Rambam is the favorite, not so. Not just that. Some Seger denies that the Rambam said it, and he says the Rambam is right, and the Rambam also agrees with the Rambam. But the Rambam Alpi Pashtus really does say, because the Rambam there in the same place, in Yad HaChazok, and the end of Hilchos Malachim, and he gives you all the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, that he writes, that all the Yugoslavs are only mechayiv to keep the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach and a couple of more here and there, but the Bnei Keturah, those who are descendants from Avraham Avinu, from the wife Keturah that he had, that we learned earlier in the Chumash, they are obligated to observe the mitzvah of Nila. The Gemara says the Bnei Keturah were chayiv in Nila. That's the machlokes is Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learns that the Gemara says the Bnei Keturah were chayiv in Nila. The Chumash has eight Bnei Keturah. Avraham Avinu had eight children from the former Keturah. Keturah was Hagar, Rashi says. She had a nickname, Keturah. After he got rid of her, then he took her back again. So the Rashi learns on that sugi in Sanhedrin that the next two Rechavim are those original eight children of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was obligated to perform the mitzvah of Milah on their bodies, but their children and their great children and their great great grandchildren, Manazer, those are the next two. They're nothing. How do you say that a Nafi is tied to more mitzvahs than another Nafi? What they have a Yitzhak, they have a mitzvah Kedushas Yisrael. Rashi denies the whole thing, and the Rambam says no, that when the Gemara says B'nei Ketura Chayvim, all of B'nei Ketura are Tzoyt Kol Adoros HaChayvim Mitzvah Mim. Not like this Rashi and the Rambam. Shagatari has a tshuva about this, the way he writes tshuva. He says that he talks to him like Rashi. Shagatari writes tshuva. Everybody else writes tshuva, you know, Shaila, Chlegi, and the Shlus Yankis, and the Shevi Hudis, how do you talk? You know, people you never heard. Like Rashi and the Rambam, you're going to take a thing. So the Shagatari writes tshuva. So he says, yeah, Rashi's right, and Rambam is wrong, right. All of the Jews are like that. So he goes on reading. But the Rambam holds like this. The Rambam says, his man is there, we don't know exactly who are the B'nai Ketura, who are not. They were all mixed up today. So who is obligated to perform Mitzvah Milah? So the Rambam says, all the Nachim are mechuyev to observe the Mitzvah Milah is man of them. Because of the Sofet, maybe they are the lucky winners. Maybe they are the true B'nai Ketura. But that's what the Mishnah Melech has a long discussion. What do you mean? Everyone is mechuyev to observe Milah himself. Why don't you say you go bust the Roi? The Roi people in the world are not the descendants of the B'nai Ketura. So what are you going to say? That the Din of Roi only applies after Avraham Avinu found five Yisrael, doesn't apply to Mitzoyelam. That would be quite a chiddush. If I use Mitzoyelam, it says, take the Roi to the Kumi, and even a Roi doesn't help. A Roi doesn't help. A chiddush Niflus is said like that. A Roi doesn't help. Let's say by Benoia, what would be the Din of Benoia if you have an Eid Menachai? That they pulled off a pulka from a chicken, a live chicken, so it's an Eid Menachai. And then the other chickens were killed, shot, whatever, and then you take off all the pulkas from all the chickens. Now they're all mixed up together. I have 100 pulkas from the chickens. I don't know which one was ripped off Mechayim, and it's an Eid Menachai, which are the 99 that are kosher. So you would tell me a Jew is allowed to eat all the 100, anyone he wants, because it's the bottom beroy. Yavish Be'avish had the trade bottom of the Roi, and the Goy is not allowed to eat anything because the one that's Eidon Achai is not bottom of the Roi, because the whole thing of Dibu Be'av is also based on the topic. Achai Rav Nahat, Rashi writes like that. He's going to say, by the name of there's no thing of Dibu Be'av. It's a strange thing. For us, it's Musa, for them, it's not. That's a problem with that Rambam. You don't know exactly why the Rambam writes like that. That's what he writes. The Chiddush Adal Chiddush. First of all, he calls the B'nai Ketura, even Atzei Kolah Deres, only descendants, Achai and Milo. Exactly, he holds that Bizman Hazeh, everybody's all mixed up, so we don't know which Nachum are descendants from the Bnei Ketura and which are not. So, therefore, the Rambam says they're all obligated to observe the Mitzvah Milah. The only question the Rambam just goes on, what if there's a Ben Ech today who doesn't want to perform Milah, as most of the Nachum in the world, they're not performing Milah. So, what if they refuse to perform Milah? So, the Rambam writes, you can't give them an Ein Shmita because it's Ein Nimitim Ala Sofet, because it's only a Sofet. So if the Ramban, if the Hassan Sefer were right, Hassan Sefer and the Tzibah right, that the Rambam really holds like the Ramban, that the Bnei Noach Hanaf Chai Nisa for failing to observe the Mitzvah. And he says, this Rambam, by Dinan, it's a different thing. He gives a whole different interpretation. If the Rambam were really right, that for failing to perform a Mitzvah, there's no Einish Misa, so why does the Rambam say, that by all the Nachum is managed who don't perform the Mitzvah Milah, they're not Chai Misa because Ein Hargim Al HaSofei. He should have said Ein Hargim Machmas Bikul Mitzvah Sefei. You see, the Rambam really meant it. Pashim Shat, the Rambam really holds his Shita. As the Rasam Zuyim Mitzvah that the Benoach Shu'ava Allah Ashum Achas in Mitzvah Sater is Chai Misa is not Ashum Achas in Mitzvah Sater that applies to him, of course, not Shabbos and Kashrus and Paras and Mishpah. But that not only applies to Mitzvah Leiteh, but to Yisurim even applies to Mitzvah Sefei. It's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says that that doesn't make any sense, that the reason why they were Chayim Nisa cannot be because they failed to observe the Mitzvah of Dinam and a bit less than the Noah Shita. It must be that the people in the city were Fadorben, they were all of the Avodah Zorah, they used to be Dezen Achai, they used to be Gezel, they would just do it in the Yankim that they had violated all the laws in the book. But it's not our geshef. I mean, why does the Yankee have to go get involved over there? But once they start off with their sisters, and then they decide we're going to fix their way, we're going to give them the Einish Misa that they deserve from a long time back for having done the Averis that they did. That's the question. The Pasuk says that they only killed the men, they didn't kill the women. They only killed the men, they didn't kill the women. Yahr we call Zachar. The only children there. And then it says, the Kochel is called out Mez Mishem Shabbat Rezah. They took the women. So why did they take the women? If you say that it's like the Rambam, that they were chayvim because they violated the Din, you can say, maybe just like by Yahr, Tanisha is still a lot of them. But by Manech, Tanisha is still a lot of them. She doesn't have a Ditzot Din. So the women were not Mokhayim to see to it that that the judges would, that the district attorney would press charges against Shechem and Hamor. They're not Mokhayim in this mitzvah. There's 1,000 years ago. But you can say the way the Ramban says that they had all worshipped Abba Dittar. What kind of a strange city? Only the Hellenists worshipped Abba Dittar. Why did Abba and Shul went to church? Strange. According to Ramban, it's strange. Abba Vishan also here. Abba Vishan, the Bali Atesis, Moshe from Canaan, called this is Bali Atesis, they also here. Why did they kill out a whole city? Not be told what's going on. So they don't say like the Ramban or the Ramban, they say it's different shot. They say the other one, the story is that they just came the day to kill Shechem and Hamor. These are the two people who were chagim. The Shechem attacked the girl, and Hamor was kidnapping the girl. He didn't let her go free. So that's like an Easter of Gezel. But then after the people in the city came to the realization that they had killed Shechem and Hamor, so the people in the city came out to wage war against them. So then that was just in self-protection, self-defense. And he wiped out all the people in the city. People thought that how could they possibly lose the people in the city? For how can we lose a war against two guys? Just Shimon Valevi and Achaydin, only two people. But then with the Sov, they succeeded in wiping out the whole city. So that's shot also to understand why they only killed the men. The men were in the army, the women were not in the army. So when they called out the army in order to kill these two guys, they only had the men fighting them. The women were not raided them. So the Hashim, so they only killed the men. They didn't kill the women. These are the different suggestions. Medrash comments on the pasuk Vayachet es ha'om esherito the shnei machanos. He divided everything in the shnei machanos, and he said, "Yavo isav ha'machna achas tikol lohayo machan hamishol leflavor." So there's two. It's interesting. Medrash has two comments. One medrash has a comment that this is the history of the Jewish people in Golos. That even when the Nazis wiped out all the Jews in those areas in Poland and Lithuania and Galicia and so on, but there were Jews in America who were always, even when they wiped out the Jews in certain areas, there were always Jews in another place. But the passage is just describing the Hatzolah of Klal Yisrael. That if all the Jews would be in one place, we would be in big trouble. The Goyim would kill us down. Another Medrash has some an interesting comment on this passage, that it's not necessarily to be taken as a simon ludoris of the history of the Jews and Golos, that we always continue to survive because of the fact that we're scattered all over the world. More things like that, but it's really a taiva that a Kodesh Baruch Hu did with the Jewish people, that it scattered us all over the world, so the Jewish nation will never be wiped out completely. So the other Medrash has a different comment. It's not representative of that idea, but rather of a different idea. That you should always have mutual funds. You should diversify your investments. You shouldn't put all of your eggs in one basket. That's what the Medrash says, that the Rishonim quote that Medrash. Mekan linda tarda acharet shalayasim adam kol mamona bizabot achas. Shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. That's the mock of a mutual fund. Mari in the beginning of Saita has a long sugya regarding the prohibition of Chanifa L'Rishoyim, that it's forbidden to be Mechabed Rasha in any form or fashion whatsoever, because when you pat him on the back and you say, Afinu Ato, we like you, we get along with you, like many Orthodox rabbis do with the Reform rabbis, they hung him around, we're all together, it's all one Jewish people, so you lead them into believing. That our way is correct, your way is correct, and they're all correct, everything is okay. You're not permitted to mislead a person. There's a din of listening to the teacher. You're not permitted to mislead a person into doing an aveira. And not only if I let's say if I give you a bottle of your nozer, I give you a bottle of wine, I give you some non-kosher fruit tea. So not only is that an issue with me, but if you can initially, even if you're doing that there on your own, and I come over to you with my long beard and pace and the white socks, and you get scared, and then I say, it's okay, we're all Jewish people, I'll pat you on the back. So he gives the guy a pat on the back, so he feels, oh, it's not so bad, he's not going to scream at me, I'm also religious. So that's a violation of this Nivali Sita Nisha. So the Gemara says that that's terrible. The Mechabed HaRosh is terrible. Ramosha Feinstein has tshuvas that he discusses that the yeshiva submitted to the Mechabed and Adam Rosha to be the guest of honor just because he's going to donate money to the all the yeshivas do it, but Ramosha Feinstein says that it's prohibited. In fact, there was one prominent yeshiva where they honored a man who was married to a non-Jewish woman because he gave a large donation. So his wife got up in the middle of the dinner honoring her husband, and she was independently wealthy, so she said, out of respect for her husband's religion, she's also donating $50,000 to this yeshiva. Mamish Achil Hashem Barabin, how can we do such a thing to be mechabed a person who's doing an aveira? So obviously we're not mechabed him for the fact that he's intermarried, we're mechabed him for the fact that he's giving money to the yeshiva. But he thinks that what, you're patting him on the back, so what you're telling him is that it's not so bad, that by giving a little money to the yeshiva, this will atone for all of whatever sins he may possibly be doing. It means that his sins are not so bad if he's mechabed. So that's the problem. Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva. He committed to give an aliyah to a non-observant person. So he discusses this. If the person doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, of course he can't give him an aliyah. He's going to say the bracha, Shekhar Shonu, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokein Melechoy. If he doesn't believe in Hashem, Elokein Melechoy, then the bracha is the chagon, if he doesn't believe in it. It's nonsense, so that's not a bracha. But even if he believes in the existence of God, but he doesn't believe Shekhar Shonu and the Sayyid of the Tivamah, he doesn't have Shabbat HaMar Salam and Asalam HaSay Rasay. If he doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, but the bracha is like Niskama Shalai Lassi. So you're laying clear the Torah without a bracha. So that's not permissible. What about giving him Hagman Lila? Not going to say any bracha. No problem. Give him Hagman Lila. Well, let's say give him Sikha. But Moshe says, no, that's also prohibited. If you're confronting the Russia and you're sort of patting him on the back and he gets the impression that he's not so big after all. Not right. They don't have anything. So that's the problem of Hanifa Lerushan. After the Gemara has this long sugya in the beginning of Sukkot, in the first paragraph of Sukkot, one member after the other, how terrible, terrible a thing it is, and Rabbi Yonah has such tariches, and the prohibition of Tanya Lisa is being machmed with Rishoyim, then the Gemara concludes with one line, Luta lahachmed Rishoyim ba'olam ha'vesh in Emar, and they quote the story of Yankov Avinu. So he's bowing down, and he says, my darling brother, and I love you, and they're kissing Rishoyim Keiru, everything is wonderful. So Taisa says, what happened over here? I can't see Gemara about the Chaimah Huisa, and now all of a sudden the last line. Gemara says, Musa, what did Gemara back out? Gemara backed out from everything he said. Taisa says, no, what it means is that Musa la'achim shamba oilam hazeh. Oilam hazeh means the mocking sakhanas nefashim. If there is Shoyim ha'shoyla, then you're afraid that he may kill you if this is suffix sakhanas. So you can, so it's Musa l'chal shamba also. Gemara could have just well said, Musa l'chal shamba is oilam hazeh. It's a level of Yom Kippur also Boil HaMazeh. Whatever it is in Sofik Tzarkana, so everything is Mutah Boil HaMazeh. Boil HaMazeh is no Sofik Tzarkana. Let's say, so Boil HaMazeh is in Sofik Tzarkana. But whenever there's no Sofik Tzarkana, what's going to happen? Your yeshiva will close down. That's not a Sofik Tzarkana. Your yeshiva will close down, so people will not be learning Torah. So they won't be learning Torah. Not so precious. It's a big problem. All the yeshivas in America, many came up, all the yeshivas, they all do that. In the Kabbalah, people who are not sharing it, other Rabbis, some of them are saying Hadar. They are anti-religious. How are you talking? What kind of business is
this? You're a Islamist.
Does the end justify the means? Judaism usually teaches that the end does not justify the means unless you have a very unusual situation of Chatei Bishul Shatizkia. If Chatei Bishul Shatizkia doesn't mean I can take a job in the Chal Shabbos because I need it for Parnassah. I'd like to make $150,000 instead of $75,000. That's not called Chatei Bishul Shatizkia. Chatei Bishul Shatizkia also doesn't mean that I can cheat lunch programs and steal money from the United States government in order to have a yeshiva, in order that I should be the Rosh Yeshiva. My cousin should have a job. And he goes to another yeshiva. The world won't come to him. He'll go to YU. Go to some other yeshiva. So he won't get the money from the government. So the other yeshivas are not that poison. I think the Shul Shatizkia is very rare case. Very unusual case.
So we're going to be having to do actually in terms of like donation, like a sum. Somebody is not from wants to give money to the yeshiva, and whenever after the yeshiva is accepted, just take all the other donations away from here.
No, that's what somebody can do. That's what Baruch Be'er was nervous about even accepting a donation from a non-observant Jew. So he once was offered a large sum of money and he went to ask Rav Chaim the Shaiva to travel, especially to meet Rav Chaim and to ask Rav Chaim. So they say over that Baruch Be'er came back to the yeshiva and he told over the Talmidim that Rav Chaim told him he should take the duck, he shouldn't be so drunk, he shouldn't be so over cautious. And he said over the Pasuk in Shabbos, and says, Alfiz Zakar, Alfiz Shahabi. And Rav Chaim was waving his finger in both directions. He said, "Afis Zakar Afis Shahar." He said, "When he told it over to the Talmid instead, he's medayed from the degree of the angle where he was waving his finger. So the Delta Mos Aveira is the same degree of Aveira. Afis Zakar to be too firm, and Afis Shahar to be too fry." Rav Chaim was reprimanding him why he had a topic about accepting the donation for the non-observant. Mara has a discussion about that also, that sometimes it's not proper. Daniel suggested that Kibbutz HaNesh, the Chatech of the Tzedokah Pro. Who is it? Daniel gave that suggestion. He said, your sins will be forgiven if you give charity. So Mara says in the beginning of Bavashim, Mara has long seen that Tzedokah. So Mara says he shouldn't have given that advice to the Rosh. He gave him an advice that in order to wipe off his Averis, that's not proper. Sometimes it depends who the Russia is. Sometimes it's a terrible type of Russia, like Hitler or something like that. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he destroyed the Samidus, he killed all the Jews. So it's not proper to give him an ace that had to wipe off his other ass. If you have a non-observant Jew who's not prepared to divorce his non-Jewish wife, and he's not prepared to propose his Torah child, not prepared to send his children to Yeshiva, not prepared to keep kosher, but still, if he has a Jewish heart, whatever, so maybe then it is proper. I don't know. Maybe then it is proper to recommend that he should give money to the Yeshiva. Sometimes it's not proper to accept the stuff because we're helping the person get a kapar and it doesn't deserve any kapar, but that's hard to judge. A person like Nebuchadnezzar didn't deserve a kapar. So the Gemara says that it wasn't proper for Daniel to recommend this agent to Nebuchadnezzar. But for other people who are not such great Rishon, some it is a problem. Rashi quotes the thing, yeah.
Didn't quote story by the Shlomo Zalman who gave somebody donation, who gave it was over this maybe guy. So he thought it was more important to issue to get on.
Right. No, he felt that the other Lishmira would be worse. The other Lishmira would be worse. No, the person had given already money to the yeshiva.
Oh, right.
But the other Lishmira that it should become cynical of Rabbanim, something about Hakamim, and turn against the yeshiva. Stop supporting the yeshiva, thought that would be a great rabbi.
So if the rich guy gives a lot of money, he doesn't need to recover as rich as
But the question is, these people don't come to the yeshivas knocking on the door saying we'd like to give $100,000. The yeshivas have people who chase after them and say, we'd like to make you the guest of honor. How much will you give us? And how many friends will you bring? Mm-hmm. To give and how much money? That's the shaila. The yeshiva chases after them and offers them the coveted. That's a shaila of chanukah v'rishayim, which strictly speaking is forbidden. Under some circumstances, it would be permissible. If you tell a guy, make it clear to him, we don't approve of your aveiros, we just approve of your giving challenge, but they make that clear to him. You would prefer that you should divorce your non-Jewish wife and you should keep kosher and close your store on Shabbat. If they tell him that, it's okay, they make it clear. I don't think it should make a difference. I don't think it makes a difference. It's not a question of whether you're not because it's Dina Kafman. It's a question, you're patting him on the back and sort of implying to him that everything is okay. You can live in peace and you come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and that's your Rabbi Yisrael Shemir. I daven in the shul every day, that's mine. Everything is okay. Bahari, that I give you also an Aliyah, I give you the best Aliyah, I give you Master Yang. So you're implying to him, I give you Tzichas and Nilah. I imply to him that everything is okay, that your observance of the religion is satisfactory, which is not satisfactory. Rashi on the first topic in the parsha quotes that opinion from the Medrash that the Malachim are real angels. Have the Medrash that they were real angels because in the end of Vayishlach, the Rishon said this, in the end of Vayishlach, he says, the Yaakov Halos of Dark, these could go Malachi Elohim. Malachi Elohim is dead. These were the angels that he sent now. Other Rishonim learn not so. They think that there are other opinions of the Medrash that they were just Malachim. Ashlukim, they were not angels. It's interesting. The Medrash has a comment on the opening passage about on the assumption that they were angels. Were there many angels or were they one? Here it says Malachim in the plural. So sometimes the Pasuk says, that the angel of the Lord protects the Shadik, Malach Hashem. And the other speaking say, Ti Malacho, Vitzavalach Lishmach Adachol Derachecha, his angels in the plural. So the Medrash asks, it seems to be a bit of a contradiction. How many angels protect the Shadik? One angel per Shadik, or many angels protect the Shadik? So the Medrash says it depends. When you do one mitzvah, you get one angel. If you do two mitzvahs, you get two angels. Do many, many mitzvahs, you have many, many angels. Every time you do another mitzvah, you get many more angels. So you get more or less protection, depending on how many mitzvahs you do. Then the Zohar also has the same spear and the same terror. One angel, two angels, the same kashan, it's another place, not a mitzvah. Not a mitzvah. Then the Zohar asks the question, if it has all these angels hanging around, if you go Malach Elohim and send some of the angels to take the bang to say, so, but how come any angel does to the express purpose of protection? The protection, protection. So what happens over here with the bodyguards? With all those bodyguards, imagine what he sends all the angels away with the gift. He didn't leave any angels behind. What happened to all Malachim? So the Zohar gives an interesting answer. He says the angels ran away from him because he did something that was foolish. He was marching on the path of Tanis. The Gemara says that he was the Rashi, the Gemara in Kulvin, the Peregrine of Nasha, but he was the Yankel of Rado. What was he doing? Well, by himself, he was schlepping the top of the tongue. He was schlepping insignificant possessions that he had. And then the Gemara comments the Kotas Lomo, well, why he's an old man by this time, very old man. I wrote one thing, so that's when he's 86 when he ran away. This was 20 years later, he's ancient. That's entirely. But such an old inch, nothing will be a little more because if you use the gezel, but you cannot question the gezel. Any penny that they have is hard earned money, honestly earned money. Therefore, Kavish Kalgalim, my mind and the Yerushim Begufa. They cherish their possessions, they cherish their money more than they cherish their own body. Because their body didn't work for them, it was given to them. And their money, that was their hard earned money that they earned honestly. And the Shoyin knew, she was over here, she was over there, they cut corners, so since they see the coming, they go, they know that they got the money, Shalakidin, so they don't feel so scared about parting with the money. So that's what we were explained by Yaakov Avinu, had this attitude that he was going to mock them in the past time, but the Zohar said that it was wrong. That's the explanation, that's the psychological explanation for his attitude, why he was mocked on the top of the time. And the Zohar says, yeah, after we listen to all that story from the Mother, that's right, but it's still wrong. That explains why he had the answer, but it wasn't the correct answer. But all the Malachim, who were supposed to be his bodyguard, ran away from him, because they were angry at him. Why he was doing such a foolish thing? Putting his life in Sakon over a nothing. It's that guy would rather walk home than take a taxi or take a train. Where's he walking home? He's walking home in New York City. He gets killed. How much is the train going to cost? He's got $100 a foot. How much is the taxi cost? $7. Whatever it's going to cost. So he saved $7 and saved $1.25, so he's going to walk home and put his life in the carcana. So that's what's in the Rosh Matanya, that it was an improper thing to do. Who was this person that he was fighting with? And then Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the people of Sarash Aleichon. And the Midrashim and the Zohar, especially the Zohar, say that this fight, by Yehovah Yishimah Alot HaShachah, and then he changed his name from Yankee to Israel, was a very significant thing. What was the indication? He was fighting with an angel? That's how it says in the Haftarah. By Yosef Lamalach Vayupala. And he fought with an angel. By Yosef El Malach Vayupala. Spoke by Yitzhanullah and son. That he fought with an angel and Yankee did it wrong. What is the significance of that? And the Radak explains in his commentary on Shayah, the Radak Alatel also has this on here. That angels in Lashon HaGemara sometimes represent a teva. Gemara has a Lashon in the first parish in Kunin. Ain't the whole the ashes on the mat that he played with grace, and the malach no malach, there's an angel in heaven, and I'm not the whole got there. But there's an angel that makes the grass grow, there's an angel that makes the rain come, and there's an angel that the mark is rain is an exception to the rule. But it's also true that the rain, he takes care of the rain first. Some things he takes care of first. He looks on the Nimsu, the Yashalia. The rain is one. But all the other things in the world, the Rabbanish one has given over to angels, learning angels take care of dreams, and these are what we call Kukiateva. So he has angels seeing to it, pushing all the buttons, so that all the Kukiateva continue to function properly, the way he set them up. So the Yagalina fights with the angel and he wins the war. What does that mean? That Klal Yisrael is Lamayla Menatera. That's the Klal that the Ramban has. He said that the Ramban has in many places in the Finnish. That the history of the Jewish people is Lamayla Menatera, and that's what has been discussed at the end of our seventh side, that Ein Mazo the Yisrael. By Yosei also Hakutva. You know, it's the same Yitzhakmina Shulpa. That he took him out of the Teva Ha'olam. That was the significance of the fighting with the angels. That's how the Radak says, that's one stuff. That is a different interpretation. Zoya says it was Sarah Shalaita, not some an angel representing Teva in general. It was something very different. Zoya says that's how the Medrash says on this passage, and that's how the Zoya has on the whole idea. That the fighting with the angel doesn't refer to the problem. So the history of the Jewish people that we have in the Malamanatara, but rather refers to the Shema that the Umos Olam tried to wipe out the Jewish people on two different levels. On one level, physically, they tried to kill the Jews to exterminate them, then on another level, religiously, they tried to convert us, and they tried to get Jews to Jesus. Every this time of the year, they have these advertisements in all the newspapers and magazines that they show you a child lighting in the river, and he goes to the Yashkin, they write him a murder, send him a different book, and you have to check off whether you're Jewish or you're not Jewish. They send you a different book. They send you a book free of charge. They have the advertising go over, murder. But this is also part of the Torah Shalaita fighting with the Yankee of Israel. The Rambam writes in the Gerrit Bashmat. He writes that if you go and try to fight against the Yankee of Israel, against the Jewish nation in two different ways. One way is physically to exterminate them, and another way is to get them to convert us to today then to come shorter. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicated, that even when Ishma, Yaakov Avinu comes out successful, and it's interesting, he is limping. He is limping. After he has the fight, Vateka Kachiach Yaakov Ehiyot Purim, and he is limping. Until he comes to Vayol Yaakov Sholem Yerstem, later. Vayol Yaakov Sholem, because the Medrash says Sholem Yerusha, Sholem Amamono, and so on. Shalom the Tayrat, he said, that's Shalom the Gufa. I taught the Gift Test in Paraklam and Gimel, then he gets better. But at the late afternoon, probably he is limping. But it's an interesting thing. What is it supposed to represent? The fact that when they Shema, so the Jews do suffer. There are many Jews who do convert to other religions, or who lose their emunah in the tradition that we have. But in the end, everything is going to straighten out. But Yom 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 is going to take a while, everything is going to straighten out. This apparently was the special uniqueness that Yankov Avinu had. The Gemara says this was the uniqueness that Yankov had, that it was mitzvah shleim, that all of his children were Jewish and they remained Jewish. Avraham Avinu had many children, only one was Jewish. To be Yitzchak Kvalach HaZera. Because it points out the difference between Zera and Dei. That Dei means a biological child. Whether he carries on in the footsteps of the parents or not. Dei is a biological child. Zera means like a seed, that if you take a seed from an apple and you plant it in the ground, you're going to get an apple tree. Then you take one of those seeds, you're going to get another apple tree. The seed means Bnei Bonim. Bnei Bonim, even now, says Chaladur, Bnei literally only means the sun. But the Abi Yalkut is to indicate otherwise. And Zera, by very nature, means a field of Bnei Bonim as well, but it only applies to Zera Kosher and not to Zera Kosher, unless you have a bearish pussy that indicates otherwise. That's the place that the Gemara points out. So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, from all of the bottom you had, he had a lot of children, but the only child that was a Zera was to be Yitzchak Kodesh Baruch Hu Zera. Only Yitzchak was going to be Jewish. The others were not Jewish. And then Yitzchak Avinu had two sons, mamish twins in the same way. Twins. And one was Jewish, one was not. The Yitzchak, what do you call Yitzchak? Yankov, the oil that Yankov is based on Esau. Esau was the Yisrael Homer. The Mark tradition says Esa was Yisrael Homer, he started off as Jewish and then he was rejected. It's Esa's Tanaisi. Now Torah said Lestik. Esa's Tanaisi. Two Yisrael. So he was rejected. Yankov Avinu's children, when we taught the Shlomo, all of them were Jewish. And now it's a helpless. Now it doesn't help. Even if they're not going to observe the laws of the Torah, they're not going to follow in the footsteps of the Jewish tradition. The Gemara says, Yisrael HaMofi Shechata Yisrael. This is a special uniqueness that was given to Yaakov Avinu from this occasion on. That's how Rabbi Hussein has a long arithmetic based on his Maharami Prague, and his Zohar really like this one. On this theme. But Yankov walked away limping. Means that the Jewish people are affected. They do lose out a little bit. They have a lot of Mishmadim amongst them, but by Yom Yankov Shalem, then in the end, all of these, it's a drach and a curse, it's a drach and a flow, it's a milah and a son at the same time. That Yisrael Achav Yishachat Yisrael Hu, that the person remains Jewish. But at the same time, before the days of the Yankov Yini, he couldn't have such a concept as Yisrael Mumer. If a Jew would become a Mumer, he would become Yisrael. So it's either Seif or Sanaisi, he would lose the position of Yisrael. And this time on, his name, he was given a new name. The Gemara says the old name was not changed. The old name was not rejected. It's not like Avraham, whose old name Avraham was canceled. Here Yankov retains the old name, just that a new added feature was given to him. Avraham became a Ger. It was a Ger Shem Gar Kot Shalom was done. The name that he had before Avraham was a Goy Shemay. That's how many today. The same as Avraham Avinu. When a Goy comes to convert, so he gives him a Shinei Hashem, gives him a new name. He don't maintain the old name. So Avraham Avinu's old name was a Goyish name that gives him when he was a Goy, so that's not proper to maintain that name after he's misguided. But Yankov the Rishonim, the Mashon, the Rishonim say this way. Yankov Avinu was Jewish when he was born. It's just that on this occasion, after the fight with the Malach, a new feature was added to the quality soil, namely this concept of Yisrael Shleimah, that all of the children will be Jewish, and even if they won't be observant, it's the Yisrael of the Shabbat to Yisrael. That's all included in the concept of Yisrael Shleimah. So that's an added feature, not that something from before was rejected. So there's no reason to throw out the old name. The old name Yankov is going to rename. And add on a new name in addition to the old name. The Zohar has more over here. The Zohar has a lot to say here. The Shaloach Kodesh has more over here than Shalim Zohar. By Yoyovic Ishino, Adolot HaShachar, Rashi talks, by Yoyovic Doshim, Rashi has different stuff about by Yoyovic. The one Shari has his Doshim, Ovo, the Helu Ovo, like people who fight on earth, not on concrete, but not on a rubber floor or something. Not like a boxing match or a wrestling match. If you have a wrestling match on top of the earth, so the people are going to be fighting, so they're going to be hell above us. There's going to be a lot of dust coming up. So the Zohar has a lotion, the Medrash has a lotion. Hell above us has Kisei HaKovet. The dust went all the way up to the Kisei HaKovet. What kind of a lotion is that? So the Rajbo on the Yankees and Drohan, supposed to be revealed the Rajbo the Rishon. The Rajbo says the Hell of Avagat Kisei HaKovet means that this is representative the fact that Esau has shlita over Yankov to crush the Jewish people and to kill the Jews, to exterminate the Jews, and to be mevad of the Jewish religion is what the Gemara speaks of regarding Amalek. Ein Hashem Shalom Ein Kisei Shalom Hashem Mofet Zara Shalom Amalek. Amalek happens to have been a descendant of Esau. So the Helu Avakat Kisei HaKovet means that the Kisei HaKovet is Eina Kisei Shalom. That the Kisei Hashem means the throne of the Kodesh Baruch, and the Malchus Hashem doesn't appear to be complete Goyel HaMazeh until Yimot HaMashiach. That's why Rabbi Shlomo Lazumna suggests in his Sefer a wild idea that maybe it says that Kaylee Yotam Yisrael Gidon Asher Asher HaKavir HaRayah HaMazeh. What do you mean HaRayah HaMazeh? Of course, all the dinas are applied throughout all the generations. What's the significance of saying Arayah HaMazeh? Maybe what it means is that it's only after until Yimot HaMashiach. After Mashiach will come, maybe Gidon Asher will be Musa. Because the whole prohibition of Gidon Asher is to remember this story, the Ena Kitei Sholem, the Helu Avakat Kitei HaKovet. But with Yimot HaMashiach, when Malchus Hashem will be in its entire full state, but then Shlomo Lazumna was a dying and Dilma. Quite a dangerous statement that he said. He thinks that perhaps, he gives different suggestions why the Lashon says Arayah Mazen. Maybe it means Arayah Mazen means up until Yimot HaMashiach and not after. That's what Shabtai Tzvi got. They started eating Gidon Asher. The followers of Shabtai Tzvi, they started eating Gidon Asher because he held that he was Mashiach. So Tzvi held like Rav Shlomo Rabbeinu. That's why I'm surprised by Rav Shlomo Rabbeinu. Right, such a thing. He didn't know what was going on, didn't know history, didn't know Jewish history. When they started eating, they started eating Yidan Asher, that made sense. Then they made sense with Yishitot, they held that he was the Mashiach. Then they started eating Chalav and other things. But my Shmid Ezra, I've seen it, but they started eating Chalav for. So we got, they ate on Tishuvah, so they held him with Mashiach, Mashiach was here. And they ate Yidan Asher, but when they eat all the Chalav, that was a later in this day. But the Yankee Levada, the Zohar, asked what happened to all the angels who had come to defend him, and he said the angels ran away because they were angry at him. Why he was so medactic on the insignificant Pakistan. They felt they understood psychologically why he was medactic, but they held that it was wrong. They ran away from him. Where were his lousy children? Why didn't the children help him out? So the Rishonim say that the children were in violation of Kibbutz. Such an old man and so many children, he couldn't help him out. The Pasha continues, Akela Yochum Eto Gira Masha Asha Kalbiyo Harayayim Hazeh. So there is a few Rishonim say, Akela Yochum Eto, they accepted upon themselves as a kapara, always to remember the fact that they were Mezalto and Kibbutz, they accepted upon themselves to rip out the Gira Masha. Whenever the leaks flesh, they should rip out the Gira Masha from the bang and make sure they don't just always like the Chazati next time. They should always remember that they were Mezalto and Kibbutz. And later in the center also the way Reuven was resolved on people. Mishnah says we give the mice and Reuven is made from a lonely target. And Pasuk Kotei from Terek Lamed Hei says that Reuven did something terrible. Ahi b'shtam yisro boris, ahi b'yelachum v'yishkar is bilati lev yishal yish mei yisro. But the Gemara says you're not allowed to say the target. Well, what do you gain by not saying the target? What do you mean the Pasuk? So the tradition the Gemara had Rashi quotes in the Medrash, whatever the Shabbat is, it's not to be taken literally. He didn't really have an affair with his father's wife. He was like a son, he wouldn't do that. I don't understand that. But very often the parents are old and they have a better perspective on life than the children. Children have kindness against their parents. Why they do this? Why they do that? Why they never bother this guy? They don't understand why they're not bothered this one. Why they're down in this school? Why not in that school? But sometimes the children don't understand the whole picture as to what's going on. Like over here. Reuven had a tiny against his father. Some of the father had a chesed on what? He didn't understand it. So the Targum Munkalus on this pasuk translates the words of the pasuk Kipshutos. That's what the Mishnah says in Nikro Gnomi Targum. That you shouldn't say the Targum on this pasuk because it's not what the tradition has. The pasuk itself is exaggerated. Children says that they did a terrible avir. The Gemara tells us that. The Gemara says they did a different thing. The Mal Alei Makos of Kilu, and about David HaMelech, he did with Bathsheba. The Gemara tells us down tremendously. But the Pesukim in Tanakh will sometimes exaggerate the avirs of people because of the claim of avir. The avir was a terrible avir Kilu. They had done that. It's not that they really did that. Kibbutz was a big problem. It always was a big problem. It always was a big problem. Mara says in Kibbutz that Abaye had no father and he had no mother. His mother died at in labor, mother died of childbirth. He says that in a certain sense he was never unfortunate, he was the other, but in another sense he was fortunate that he never had any point of observing Kibbutz. It's so difficult to observe. So several Rishonim write this idea. That it's to remember that we are descendants of those who sinned. Today, so means the children of Yankee whom a couple upon themselves, not the Giran Osha. Remember the Avera of not helping out the problem. Share our Kaf HaYoreh, the Gemara says in the Fulham, Per Giran Osha, and I tell only the Gid that's on the Kaf HaYoreh is on. So the Gid is a long thing that extends the whole length of the leg. The Gemara says the rest of the Gid is Mutta, only the part that's on Kaf HaYoreh. And in the Rabbanan, they prohibited even the extension of the Gira Nash.
Gira Nash is a visual asset, even though it was under Kabbalah.
Well, they had accepted upon themselves as a minig, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it into the Torah, as it did. He wrote it in such a way, like, Akela Yochanan is what means that the Jews had two levels of interpretation. No. That's how the Rishonim say that, was it there in the plan, credit chasing, integration, that I don't know. But the Rishonim say that the Pasuk has two levels of interpretation. Quite a few Rishonim say, I can't let myself get on Osher, that Bnei Yaakov decided on their own not to get on Osher to remember the fact that they didn't have air. And an additional level of interpretation has it that we are prohibited, we, the Jewish people, not the children of Yaakov Avinu Bnei Yisrael. We, the Jewish people, are forbidden to get on Osher the early war. Two levels of interpretation. It's interesting, Gemara has in Perigin HaNosh, Gemara has in Achleis of Yudin Reb Meir, and it's right regarding Yishuv and Agid, how much of Yishuv and Agid is Oster and how much is Mut. And the Gemara's Loshen there is that when Aperi is only Oster, the Gid Al-Kaf HaYerech and the Yishuv and Agid, the Gemara's Loshen is Yisrael Kedoshim, Noah Gubo Yisrael. Yisrael Kedoshim, the holy Jewish people, Noah Gubo Yisrael, they decided on their own to be Mekabal of Israel. And the Prima Gaudi points out from the Rishonim that the Loshen HaGemara implies that it's only a minig, it's not even a minig to the Rabbonim. The Chatelet, it's only a minig, has to be a machlokes atanayim. What part of the Shemin Agid is us? Pukhazim ayam in the bar, find out what's the minig, whatever the minig is, that's what's up. So the Chari Tichet is Gimar, like we mentioned the other day, in the Rabbein Atam, there's some in Hagim that you're prohibited to observe. A minig has to make sense also, has to have a mahalach. You have a minig that's on hand and on feet. It doesn't make any sense. That's a minik shtus. You're not permitted to follow a minik shtus. That's a machlokes atanayim. Does it make sense to observe a minik to prohibit the shulman of the gidon hashem? Does that make sense or not? You have the same on the first daf in Pesachim, on that day and day. The Gemara quotes the machlokes atanayim. From what moment on is one forbidden to do melacha on erev Pesach? From Malos HaShachar, from Yever, from Eitzach Hama, what time on? The Rashi says, in the minig, it says, Mokhm Shinom, which low lasses Malacha. Whatever the minig of Mokhm is, that you don't do Malacha, okay, so you never do Malacha. So there's the Machlok Zalmanai, where is the minig? So Tais says, what are you talking about? If he's talking about a minig, so whatever the minig is, that's what the minig is. Tais says, no, this Machlok, how can I have a Machlok is what the minig is? Kul Khazi, what the minig is? So Tais says, no, the Pshat has to be that these Hanoim are based on the basis of Sohmol, that the prohibition, the Yisam Malacha, and Er Pesach, is an Isa Medina, it's not Bimin Hogan. Rabbanim have a machlekes, Medina. When is the din? When should he make the din? So what's Takav Shat and Rashi? So the answer is Rashi is not Shver. By Shuman Hagid, it's only a minig, and you have a machlekes, you can have a machlekes, is it a minig shtus, is it not a minig shtus? So the same over here, by the Isa Malacha and Erfes, we had it by Malacha and Chanakim. Is it a minig shtus? Not Zum Malacha at all or not. Achroinim had a whole machlekes. So minig shtus, you're not allowed to observe. It's interesting, there was a shayla that came up before the OU convention in on Thanksgiving. There was going to be up to another convention there, which was going to be not kosher. And there was going to be a big problem about kashering the pots and the pans and the ovens and everything in between the non-kosher event that was going to be right before, on Wednesday night, I think, the non-kosher, well, Thursday morning, I forgot already what it was going to be, and the kosher event. So the OU suggested to them, make everything kosher in the other one. Buy kosher meat for the other event also, but the meat should be kosher. The other pots, you want to do whatever you want, but the pots that we can use the night after to make them kosher. So they said, no, they had a problem, that the other event is going to be real going, and they like to have the hind quarter of the animal, whatever those parts that have the shuman agir, the legs that have the shuman agir. You can't give them a piece of meat that's all cut up. When the Jews removed the Gidon Osher and they removed the Shuman Agid, so then the piece of meat is all chopped up, so it doesn't look pretty. It's going like that, a big pretty piece of meat. So the Shaila was, you could remove the Gidon Osher, that wouldn't pose a problem. Just the Shuman Agid was going to pose a problem. So the Gemara has a machloek satanai where the Gidon Osher yesh begin mirei satam, rei the begin mirei satam. So we pass the name of Gid mirei satam. The Gid Hanosher does not aser with the din of Tam Kifer. It has no Tam. Gira Noshe is ain't the Gid Mirei Satam. What about Shuman Agid? Shuman Agid is fat, fatty stuff. So fatty stuff has a Tam. Has a Tam of Shuman. But Tayson has 2 days where the Shuman Agid asked with Tam Kiefer. Maybe since all Shuman Agid is only asked with Tam Minig, it's all the Doshim Nar Nebois, maybe it's only asked with Tam Minig, or to Gira Noshe, it's a hard fuck. And Gira Noshe does not ask the Mirei Satam. So then Gid Mirei Satam. So maybe the Shuman Agid does not ask the reader. So there's 2 days in Tayson. But if we would have passed in, we have not to do that. if the din would have been at Yerideya, that Shuman HaGid does not the Tatsa, there wouldn't have been a problem. He would let the good, we would have removed the Gid on Osha, then we would have gotten the kosher meat. We would have removed the Gid on Osha and let them cook in the pot. Either cook from Shuman HaGid, or Shuman HaGid does not the. And the Gid Menai from Tam, and Shuman HaGid does not the either. So that wouldn't be a problem of saying about the Nisra Hatsuyo. The Goyim are going to eat this stuff. As far as the Jews are concerned, there was no bliyah, there was no ether. The only thing is that in Yerideya, we pass like the other opinion says. The favorite. The Chabah passes like the other day in person. So even though in the Gid, but I some time, the Gid does not, but the Shimon HaGid does not. So they couldn't use that ether. The crazy place, he has a famous comment that the later Achranim all say that he made a mistake. Quite a few storm, they all write, Flourish or Rabbi, the Rebbe Rabbi Yenison has become a Munach, and they say that he made a mistake. It was a shot of identifying where the Gid Anoshe is, exactly what was the Gid Anoshe. So in the days of Rabbi Yenison Eibishit, in the late 1700s, somebody came up with a new Ein Fall that this is the Gid Anoshe instead of something else, exactly what the Gid Anoshe is. So Rabbi Yenison Eibishit said that there's a mistake over here, it cannot be. Because the Smak says that Gid Anoshe flies both to Zcharman and Akevet, and that thing that this fellow claimed was true, the real Gid Anoshe, is only found in male animals and it's not found in female animals, so it's right that that's not the Gid Anoshe. If that was the Gid Anoshe, so how can the Smak write that it's not even Akevet if the female animals don't have that that part of the body? So all the later Akronim say that the Pela, that when you look in the smog, that's not what it means. The smog means that the prohibition of Gid Anoshe applies both to Jewish men and to non and to Jewish women. He's not talking about female animals. Maybe there is no Gid Anoshe in a female animal. He wasn't talking about Nikkei today, he was talking about Nikkei for the Jewish women. Marian Shabbos comments and Daman Ravikin, they more comments on the Tosuk here. Vayichan Aspneho Ir, when Banyag Ravini came to the city Shem, he did something. Vayichan Aspneho Ir, what did he do? So the Gemara says, Mamshat is that he was in stocking the Abatois for them. Another shot was that he was in stocking streets for them, Shvokin. Another shot was that he was in stocking a monetary system. He was involved in this world. He wasn't just Yankov Aminu, he sits and he learns. He was real Torah Mada. He not only sat and learned Beis Midrash Hashem Shoshen Yev, and he got smicha there after 14 years smicha program, but he was doing something for the world also. It's interesting because he did for the world, so he had big problems. He had a big problem with his daughter. And then the Pasuk says that later on, when they wiped out the city and they took the Avodah Zarah, it says he asked his children, and so on. So the Ramban asks San Kumish, what do you mean? And then it says, that they buried all the Avodah Zarah. Why didn't he bury the Avodah Zarah? There's a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah. You have to destroy it in such a way to utterly either burn it or to grind it up into particles and to scatter in the wind or to throw it into the river or something like that. You don't just bury it with the Zohar. That's what the Ramban asked. Others asked on the Ramban's kasha that it's not exactly Yerkeho. Maybe the din is that he may bury it. The Ramban asked if there's a kasha. How come it just says that he buried the Avodah Zarah? He didn't destroy it. The Ramban says, no, I can show a kachoya. Why do you think they're going to take the Avodah Zarah? There's a prohibition just to take Avodah Zarah in your hand. Many our friends point that out. They should have taken it in your hand. So they didn't take the Avodah Zarah before they got a non-Jew to be mevatel in advance. The Gemara says that once you have a Nochri to be mevatel, the Avodah Zarah shall Nochri, didn't belong to a Jew. The act of bitul has to be done by a non-Jew, and the Avodah Zarah has to be in the ownership and the possession of a non-Jew. If it's done by a Jew, it doesn't have any bitul or loans. Even if the Jew sells it later to a non-Jew, it doesn't have bitul. So the Ramban says, obviously, they had non-Jews being mevatel of the Zohar before they took them in their hand. So they didn't want to violate the Yisra of Leif, but Biyat Chol Yuna Acher. And nonetheless, the Angelina said, look, we are dealing in this world, we have to make a lot of hachotas. He said, let's get rid of all of these other Zohar that are mutabah no. Even would have been the Yeshiva Bach, the ones in the base medrash, And he wouldn't have any shaykhus with the business world, with the universities, with the outside world. He wouldn't have to have all these achrokas. But the closer a person is to the goyish world, so the more gzeiros and the more achrokas and the more tiyorim you have to have. It's very strange that in the world that we live in is just the reverse, but that's the way it should be. You have these Jews who live in Williamsburg and they mamish lead a different life than you go to Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It's like you're going, you're like you're walking into Europe 60 years ago. It doesn't fit into the rest of New York City. It's so quaint, it's so different. It's like going to the Amish, like the Quakers or something. It looks so different to you. So these guys in Williamsburg, they have all the harkokas and all the tiyogim, they worry about everything. And the people who deal in the goyish world and the universities, and we speak to the goyim every day, on a first name basis. We deal with non-observant Jews. We're the people who need more harkokas, but somehow we're the ones who are mezalto. It should be the reverse. The closer one is to the outside world, the more one is involved in the secular world. So the more harkokas, the more gzeiros the person has to have. Yankov Avinu became very involved in the outside world, and he had trouble from his daughter Taka. And then he realized he has to make hachokas, he has to make tziyogim. The Rishonim all point out that what's the moral of the story of it, that Teit Tegina, and Rashi quotes in Medrash, but Teit Tegina should be the Yaston is talking about. A little bit of a Yaputza, I don't know. The Rishonim say that she originally, according to the Gemara, originally she was a boy, and I think Tfilat Leia, she was converted, Martin Prophet says like this, she was converted into a girl, but because she originally was a boy, in the state of an embryo, so that's why she was a tomboy. The girl was a tomboy.
Yeah.
So she was like a boy. She acted like a boy. But the Rishonim say, the moral of the story is that women should be folks with the bas nochnim. The women should stay in the house. They shouldn't act like tomboy. Even if they have a desire to act like them. It's a big problem. We live in a generation, there's so much preachers. We have this women's lib movement, which is clearly the whole thing is the Yisrael of the priest. The whole thing is the Torah tells us, the Torah says that there should be a separation of the sexes. They should have different roles in life, and everybody should do different things, and they should dress differently, and everything should be different. And each one has a different Selam Alakim, and together they make the Shleim Asadam, Zof and Akeva, but together make the Shleim Asadam. But each one is supposed to have a different function. And the movement today is exactly against that. What is homosexuality, and the boys wear their long haircuts like the long hair like the girls, and the girls wear slacks, and they wear tight jeans and everything, all like the boys. The whole thing is exactly against what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He doesn't want any of this stuff. And once you have that, so that's what one can expect when you have priests. The women act like men, the men act like men, so of course it's going to be a disruption of the whole society. So Ibutna has in his drasha a very fascinating anti-Yekesh drasha on the pasuk in Vayishlach. Yaakov nasa sukkoso. So even Labaisa and Biknehu also sukkos. He made sukkos. He was the first one to make sukkos. The Rishonim say, I don't know if it's a medrash, I know there are in the Chai and the Tur, they cook. Maybe it's a medrash, maybe it's an oral tradition they had that my thought was still Labanim, that the fact that the Roshan gave the list of sukkah, this is that it's somehow rooted in Yank Ravina. Well, it's got to do with Yank Ravina. It says, my year is there, sir. What's the reason of Shas is in Israel? What's the other merits of John? The sukkahs are Zechel Amani Kovada, Zechel and Sukkot Mamish, whatever it is. You see it from John. What does it have to do with this? What was this? What do you mean Zechel and Sukkot? What does that sukkah have to do with Israel? So Rabbi Husna has a drasha, I assume it's based on, he doesn't give you any of the sources. I assume it's based on earlier sources. So he says that Avraham Avinu had more or less one approach. Avraham Ohavi, he had a Habit Hashem, a lot of Habit Hashem. Ati Yudaiti Kirei that came up after the Akedah, so Rabbi Husna said, I see you have Yira also. Because the sign of the Akedah, he wouldn't be able to pull through just with the Habit Hashem. He can love from today till next year, but to bring his son as a carbon, that's quite a high level. That it wouldn't work with the Habit alone. That had to work with you. After your days, you came out, you have year old, not all year. Yitzchak was Pachat Yitzchak. Yitzchak was all year, and they didn't have Habit Hashem, but he stressed in his lifetime the theme of of Yira. Yaakov Avinu was Tiferet, he was a combination. Sometimes this, sometimes that. He wasn't such a yakid that you always go consistently with the same hanhogim. You always have to see under which circumstances you should use which midah, and under which other circumstances you should use which other midah. It doesn't mean it's compromising on any of the laws of the Torah, just the hanhogim life, how a person should act. So the idea of the sukkah is that say midirat kivah, that a person should go out from the kviyas. A person should go into an aroi. It shouldn't be so kavua. If you only go with one attitude, there's only one way to lead your life. Sometimes you're going to come into situations where you won't be able to succeed with that hanhoga. Like Aram Avinu, when he came to the Arkadia, he couldn't pull through just without he had to have Yira. And Yitzchak on some occasions, you can't always pull through with Yira, you can't always pull through without it. You have to have a blend of all of the meters to get it. That's what Yankin is to represent. The meter of the Ferris means a blend of all of the meters. You have to know when to use which meter. So this is what he says is the idea that the Rishonim say that the fact that we sit in Sukkah today, the Sukkah is supposed to be representative of the eternal protection, Shemram Yisrael Adar, that the Torah always protects the Jewish people. That even when we were traveling through the Golos all the years, not only 40 years of the Midbar, all the years that Bnei Yisrael traveling through the Golos, the Rebbeinu Shlomo always protects us. Yeah, protection, divine protection works if we know how to act properly. So sometimes you have to come for the gun, sometimes you don't come for the gun, you have to know. You can't always go like the JDL. And most of the time not, and you can't always go with chanis. Sometimes you have to use this meter, sometimes that meter, and sometimes you have to do ahava, sometimes yira. You have to use different meters. You have to be able to adapt yourself. He adds on that the Golden Goyen has the comments in the Biragwan Shirashir, and he says that the sukkah that we sit in is Zechel Anani Kovet. Which Anani Kovet? The first Anani Kovet or the second? Which was the first, which was the second? So apparently the Medrash says that the Jewish people were protected with Anani HaKovet after they came out of Mitzrayim. And then right after they sit with the Chet HaEgel, the Anani HaKovet disappears. And then after the Chet HaEgel, the Anani HaKovet returns back. So the Golden Goyen claims that the Sukkah, that the fulfillment of the Mitzvah Sukkah is echa to the second set of the Anani HaKovet, not to the first set. What's the significance of the second set as opposed to the first set? That's what the Golden Goyen writes in Shir HaShir, in the commentary on Shir HaShir. That's Rabbi Hutner has a little bit of an arichas on. He says that the first Anani Kovod, the first Anani Kovod was lost later on, so the divine protection wasn't of a lasting nature. Like the first Luchas, the Luchas that were given first, were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu when they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, so he broke the first Luchas. The second Luchas, Lo Shalta Ben Mayim Ruach, the second Luchas were the everlasting Luchas, they were never broken. So the second Luchas, which was of a lasting nature, those are the ones that represent the Nitzchus and Klal Yisrael that will be able to survive throughout all the difficult circumstances. And that's the Anani Kovod, the second set of Anani Kovod, not the first set disappeared. The second set of Anani Kovod, those were the ones that remained with the Klal Yisrael all the time. And the only way to have such a constant protection is by Bnei Yisrael being able to shift from one meter to the other. So the circumstances will always be changing. It's good to be consistent, but you have to be consistent on what? Shmiras HaMitzvot, you have to be consistent on policy. A person doesn't have to be so consistent on policy. Politics, by its very nature, it lends itself to compromise. There are some people who will compromise in halacha, they will never compromise in policy, which is absolutely absurd. The Torah is not supposed to be compromised, but politics, by its very nature, that's what politics is all about. That a person has to know when to compromise and when not. Sometimes what people think is politics is really halacha. Sometimes it's not. You have to know when to draw the line. It's very important. I thought to say before, I didn't finish about all fair in war. Look, if you're fighting a war, so you don't have to worry about killing the enemy. Because by Yetzel Hashem Ayargat Acher, we started to discuss, then we got diverted. I started to mention in Haral Mitzrayim, he says, what all the people in the city of Shechem deserve to be killed? What, they were all involved in this Adeya? The people had no data that night. So Haral Mitzrayim says, sorry, You have no choice. That's the way you wage a war. Whenever you kill, whenever you wage a war, if someone's killed, there's going to be some innocent victims over here. You have to go shoot to kill. If you, otherwise, what are you going to go ask everybody when the Jewish soldiers come into Beirut? They're going to have to show me your ID card. Are you from the PLO or are you just a plain citizen? So if you're just from the Balabatim in the city, then we're not going to kill you. By the time you're going to check your ID card, they're going to kill you. So now the crux is that you have to wage a war, you have to shoot to kill. And it's understood that innocent people are going to be killed also. So that's part of the Hatsa Muhammad. When a person or a nation has the Hatsa Muhammad, so the Hatsa Muhammad is Mata Resicha. It's Mata Resicha. You have to judge each and every individual person and see right if you see not right. If there's a suffix right, then you can kill them too. So my army problem is we're right on this week's seven. Right, the same we call Muhammad Shabbailah. So that's the definition of all wars. You know, that's why all wars are looked up for. And he said that certainly is permissible.
Is that because that question is broken
and why not? The Yitzhak is lifted when you have a Hesed. Sometimes there's no Hesed Muhammad. But whenever there is a Hesed, go to Muhammad. And then the Yitzhak is lifted. Whatever is necessary, I can't just go and shoot improperly. But whatever is necessary and tough because of the war effort, is not considered an issue of peace.
Why don't we consider that more than a source of self
and how are we doing in that's another thing that might be mean the soldier may get killed, but because never she suspended the Muslim Osama, that's another thing. Because never the soldier is suspended and it's always a receive on the enemy. That's a special thing. That's the definition of Muhammad, it's a special thing. Rashi calls the Medrash on the post to Goya Kal, Goya Yeni Neko. Who is going to be born? Binyamin was going to be born. Rashi doesn't call the Medrash, more than what that. Just Binyamin was going to be born. Yeah, Rashi calls Yom is going to be born, Goy, and what Kahal Goy in, that Shevet Yosef is going to be divided into two, the Menashe and the Ephraim. That's Goy called them. How's that called the Goy? That's what the Gemara in Hurry is going to happen in Pasuk. So Shevet Echad Ik we call, that each and every Shevet of Kol Yisrael is considered a Klal. It's considered Kohol. What's the significance? The Gemara has the Amachlein Satan, we got it prior to Shal Tzibor. But even without that, the Briskirov in his Seif HaKumish quotes a Pirush HaRayu than Bayikra on the Torah Kana, where he says that the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shenis, v'atem b'nei yankiv lo chelitzen, that's the Pasuk in Shrei Osor, v'atem b'nei yankiv lo chelitzen, the Jewish people will never be wiped out. So the Gemara says, Yeshnech and Gemiri, they have a tradition, the Lekol HaShiftim Yisrael, not only will a Klal Yisrael not be wiped out, even an entire Shevet will never be wiped out. The Gemara is discussing over there Yerushas. The Rashbam always has these long, boring Rashbam, where he has Tivon dies, and Anna dies, and he gets the Yerushim, he gets the Yerushim, and he's dead, he gets it. And then the Gemara says, so why don't you go fight it? What if everybody died, the whole Shevet that goes over to the other? The Gemara says, no, Gemiri, that'll never happen. An entire Shevet Reuben should die out, an entire Shevet Shimon should die out, that'll never happen. So where do they have this tradition from? Gemiri, we have a tradition, go by follow Shift on Yisrael. An entire Shevet will never be wiped out. So the Rabbi says, he put two together. So we have the pasuk for the Novi Atem and Yankiv Lo Chelitzen. That Klal Yisrael will never be wiped out. Then you have the pasuk in the Chumash Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet of Klal Yisrael has the status of a Kohol. Am I not familiar? For the Haftofet of Atem and Yankiv Lo Chelitzen. Each one of the Bnei Yankiv. Let me look at the Yankiv together. The whole Klal Yisrael. Each Shevet of the Bnei Yankiv, each one of them, has the status of Kohol, Goy, and the Goy will never be wiped out as a whole. There are always people left. We don't know who's who. We know who the Kladim and the Bima, we don't know who's who for the other Shvatim, but we don't only have from Yehud and Binyam. You have a little bit more of the Shvatim era. They quote from Rav Kook that he used to say on that Gemara Gemiri is usually Halacha Moshe Bitsina. Gemara Gemiri, Rashi only says Halacha Moshe Bitsina. He said, Klal Yisrael is Halacha Moshe Bitsina. Whenever you have a din, you don't understand what it's based on. But the Gemara will sometimes say, well, Halacha Moshe Bitsina doesn't have to be based on anything. It's not based on any drasha from any process. But that's what he used to be fond of saying, that the existence of Klal Yisrael today is Allah HaMashi Mithina. Klal Yisrael is Allah HaMashi Mithina. The fact that we exist is no psychological headset, is no historical way to explain it. It's just the man of the Natal. As one of the Midrashim said, and Lefi said in Vayetze, Malachim, Oilam Yordim Bo. Oilam Yordim is describing the rise and fall of all of the other civilizations. The Malachim represent the Malachim of the French government and the British government and the Roman Empire and the Greek country and all the different, the Russian government. We saw the rise and the fall of the communist government, saw the rise and the fall of the Tsarist government. Every nationality, every government has a rise and the fall of the Malachim, Oilam Yordim. And then the Goneshom said, okay, Yaakov Avinu, it's your turn. In the dream, it's your turn to go up. No, I'm not going to go up. I'm going to go up. You're going to push me down. I'm going to fall down. And Goneshom said, no, you're going to go up and you're going to stay up. The Jewish people doesn't have a fall. We have a rise, and we don't have to go down a little bit, but you don't fall. You don't disappear. And the Medrash said, he was nervous and so on. He was punished. Huh? But that's what the Medrash said, that the Nitzchi of the Kabbalah Yisrael, that's what we mentioned the Radak said. That's the understanding of Yankee fighting with the Malach and Pisti, the Kabbalah Yisrael with the Malach and Atevah. The Rishani points out that we see from the Pasuk in today's Sefer when Rachel died, so he made Matevah Turas Rachel Ara Yayim Azeh. You see that the Baal is Mukhlid the Kura Sishtoi, even to be Machabin Halachamai, to put him on Seva. That's the result of the Shani point down. It should have been the Shani. Vayel from the Mayishka was still up Ilai Yishavim, Vayi Yubin Ayankim Shnei Matzah. What does it say there? Vayi Yubin Ayankim Shnei Matzah? Rashi said, Kulam Tzadikim Shalai Chodim Rubin. He really didn't say. All 12 were really Bnei Yankim. He did a slight aver, which the Torah writes exaggerates way out of proportion, because it was really an aver hamor, but he didn't do what the Chumash describes him as doing. And in the very same pasuk, you have a psuk of Em to pasuk, but the same pasuk says, or even Yankim Shnei Masor, that he was also a tzaddik. Some of the Bali Atayim have a different shot of it, because they quote the pasuk in Divrei Yomim, where it says that because Kumshit says later on that because he did this aver, whatever it was, the Chala Yisriyoni, he lost the Bechor and was given to Yitzchak. That's why Yitzchak was divided into two Shvot and Menashe and Ephraim. But says, they would have been, by you, Bnei Yaakov should have been Shloisha Osa, there should have been 13. So Reuben was, of course, should have been counted, Tishnam should have been counted as two sons. So the Pasuk says, by Yishka, that he was built up, he lagged Shavi, but right away the punishment was, by even Yaakov Shnei Mosa, he lost his Tishnam. Yosef didn't get it yet. Yosef got it later. So you can't say that there were 13 anyway. No, there used to be 13, and Reuben was counted as 2. And now he just lost. Now there are only 12. Later on, they're going to be 13. And a later set of embrace, when Yosef will be given the Torah, then we'll revert back to become 2. That's what some Bali Atesha said, that the Pasuk is indicating right away the Yosef. The end of the Seder, the Seder gives all of the Yichas HaBezal. Very strange, what do we need all this for? What's the significance of the whole Yichas HaBezal? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there were those who used to make fun of these Pesukim. What do you need all this? What's the significance of all of this? So they quote the name of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and it's based on a Rambam in the Mor and the Ruchim. A little bit. Rav Chaim Volozhin had it on a Nachalat. But this is in order to explain the Shnei Kedushim from Hamakhishim Zed Zed. This is the cause of Ashlishi Shechim. On the one hand, there's a pasuk that Loisa Saiba Zayim Ki Achichahu. You have to treat the Adonim decently. On the other hand, Amalek is a descendant from Edom. So can say something. Amalek is a descendant from Edom. So there, and the Mokotim Chazer Amalek, you have to wipe them out. So how does that fit in? How does that fit in with the din of Loisa Saiba Zayim? So the answer is given, this is because of Ashlishi Shechem, the answer is given by this Yitzhak, it explains that Amalek was truly a descendant from Edom, but it wasn't from one of his wives. Achois loitam timnah, timnah hoisot filegesh levifaz ben him. She was only filegesh, she wasn't his wife. But those children who are descendants from the real wives, as opposed to the filakshim wives, so those are included in Edom, loisitzayda dayin. Those who are descendants from filakshim are not included in loisitzayda dayin. And they live in Akasha that you have a din. Of the Tim Chazir. question is, well, what do you need such a long arif for? Such a long arif. So, the Baal HaTaisa point out, to indicate, the Gemara in the end of Gittin comments on the Pasuk in Treyosa, the way the Navi tells the Edom, Bozli Atam Yod. What do you mean, Bozli Atam Yod? The Gemara says one comment, Shein Lahem Lo Yistav Lo Yidoshim, that they don't have their own language, they don't know how to write well, they don't know how to read well. I speak proper language anymore. Has another kind of buzzing out in the old that they don't have the kingdom going over from father to son to grandson. They appoint a new every 4 years. They have a new president. So that's considered buzzing out in the old. The proper thing, the Mekovitika thing, would be that the Malka should go over from father to son to grandson to great grandson to son. So that's the Pesukim are stressing over here, that there was a civil war, there was a coup. He beat him out, and he beat him out. No one is a descendant from the guy before. Each one of the Zelam Lahu Shemokha B'Edam, all of these guys, each one was unrelated to the other one. And then the Pesukim described that half of these people were Mamzerim. Shem Yishta, that's how the Baal HaTaisa says. Shem Yishta Mehet Havel Bas Matrei Bas Mezoho. How can they write the mother's name and the mother's name? What's wrong with the father's name? They weren't too sure who the father was. But they just knew who the mother was. They didn't know. Father was questionable. A lot of these people were among them. So the Pesukim are describing bodily out of the earth. By Edom, everything is very peaceful. The Zohar has long arichas in this. Elam loch shmol v'yedom. I don't know what it says. Very long arichas. What is the significance of all of these names? Thank you.